And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I'll tell you, folks, I am disturbed by what is going on in our Congress these days. I listened to as much of it as my stomach could stand of Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and their pontificating, but it was not easy to stomach. Because I consider these people to be some of the biggest hypocrites on the planet. And the idea that they can actually form in their mouths removal of this president of the United States over a call to Ukraine President Zelensky is, to me, it is just beyond the pale. It is beyond the pale. It is one of the most destructive things I've ever seen coming out of the United States Congress, and they can do some pretty destructive things. This is one of the most destructive things I've ever seen happen, and they want to accuse the president as being a threat to our Constitution. Are you kidding me? They are the threat to the Constitution, because what they are trying to do is to overthrow a duly held election in which the president of the United States was legitimately elected in an overwhelming electoral college victory, and they didn't like the outcome. So now they're simply trying to undermine the decision of the American people and substitute their own judgment. It's just dangerous. It really is. It is dangerous. But look, I want to get back to that. But that's very much on my mind right now. I want to get back to that. I want to remind you that there's something, always something good happening. You know, one of the reasons why I love this country is the fact of the matter is it is not these political elites that are responsible for the greatness of this country. It is the Americans who are out there day by day, trying to do the right thing with their own lives, taking responsibility for their own families, doing everything they can to make a contribution to the lives of others, either through business or through their job or whatever they're doing. I mean, it is the people that make this country grow and go. And this week, we want to give everybody an opportunity to be one of those great Americans, one of those great people, to be a hero, really, by supporting this effort by preborn to give ultrasounds to mothers so that they, instead of aborting their babies, allow their babies to live. And folks, it just doesn't get any better than this. You know, when I hear this statistic that abortion is the leading cause of death in the country, it makes you shudder. And the fact that an ultrasound help stop this scourge by giving a mother an opportunity to hear her baby's heartbeat and to see her baby on the screen, and to think that 80% of the women who see that decide to keep their babies. Folks, it just doesn't get any better than that. You know, preborn has a passion to save unborn babies, and they've counseled 340,000 women, saved 73,600 babies, and 40,000 women have also heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many of those have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. So, folks, be a hero this week. I told you all when we introduced this, that I was going to make a contribution. I've done that because I just believe in putting your money where your mouth is and not asking other people to do what you won't do. So my wife and I have done that. And we're asking you to be a hero for every preborn baby in this nation right now, and an ambassador for the eternal life of every mother who gets an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, look, $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion, a free ultrasound. $140 provides five ultrasounds, so five women are blessed, five women are helped. And our goal is to save 2,000 babies, so your gift of any size can make a big difference. And by the way, 100% of your donation is going to the pregnancy centers to provide ultrasounds. It's not going for overhead, it's not going for administration, and all those things are necessary, we understand that, but this is a very specific, targeted gift that goes only to save the life of that unborn child. So you can get involved by calling 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or, of course, as always, go to our own website, afr.net, and you'll see the information right on the homepage as to exactly what you need to do in order to make a contribution. Thank you all for caring about the lives of these unborn children and seeking to save their lives. I don't think there's any more important thing we can do other than seeing people get saved and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they are bound for heaven instead of hell. I think, and both of those deal with life, don't they? They both deal with life. And the Bible says, God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your descendants, you and your seed may live. Folks, I don't know whether any of you have had a chance or even wanted to listen to this incessant demagoguery that we're hearing from the likes of Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler and Chuck Schumer. It is thoroughly disgusting. I mean, when Nancy Pelosi calls President Trump a threat to the Constitution, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And here you are, the most fundamental thing that we do to govern our country is vote. That's the most fundamental thing we do to govern our country, because that vote is taken by the sovereign people of the United States, who use the vote to choose those who can serve us, not rule over us, not lord it over us, but serve us in government. And when elite politicians on a partisan basis set out to undermine that, to overthrow that, not to mention the other fraudulent and criminal things that I believe they're really engaged in terms of, and I'd say criminal in the broadest sense, I mean, criminal in a moral sense, which is undermining the integrity of our voting system by denying voter ID, which is not racist, and it's not... It is basic, folks. It is fundamental. My goodness gracious, you can't rent a car without an ID. You can't rent a hotel room without an ID. Look, I can't even make a deposit at the bank if there's cash in the deposit. Have all of you experienced this? You can't make a cash deposit in the bank or make a deposit that includes any cash. I don't care if it's only $5 without an ID. Is that racist? It's just, folks, it is rank demagoguery. That's all it is, because they're crooked and they want to be able to affect the elections in an illegal way by having people vote who shouldn't vote. And so when you say voter ID, oh, we can't have that. No, because they want illegal immigrants to vote and they want people to be able to vote in more than once. And they basically, it is the continuation of the old Democratic machine. You know, Mayor Daley, you know, who would simply ask the candidate, well, how many votes do you need to win? How many more votes do you need? This is the number I need. Oh, okay, no problem. We'll get those for you. That's no problem. We'll just make them up. And they're going to accuse President Trump of being a threat to the Constitution. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The Apostle Paul encourages us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I have done a number of radio programs with Christian teachers and Christian doctors about anxiety and depression. Both Christians and non-Christians now believe anxiety is increasing in our society. A recent article by Amy Morin in Psychology Today lists 10 reasons teens have so much anxiety today. She says that electronics offer an unhealthy escape which keeps them from addressing emotions like boredom, loneliness, or sadness. Another is the idea being spread in society that kids always have to be happy. Parents often make it their job to try to make their kids happy all the time. And while we're talking about parents, she finds that parents are giving unrealistic praise to their kids and parents are getting caught up in the rat race. She also believes that parents often view themselves as protectors and they seem to be parenting out of guilt and fear. Because of all of this, then it is clear that kids aren't learning emotional skills. In fact, a recent survey of first-year college students reveals that a majority felt emotionally unprepared for college life. She also argues that kids aren't being given enough free time to play. Many are involved in organized sports and clubs. Solitary play teaches kids to be alone with their thoughts and be comfortable with who they are. Also, family hierarchies are out of whack. Kids may be giving us the impression they want to be in charge, but they know they aren't always capable of making good decisions. This article, and many others like it, remind us that anxiety is on the rise. That is why pastors and Christian leaders need to address the issue of the anxiety epidemic. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Brian Fisher here. We'll let you hear the angry exchange between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren that took place right after the debate. The talking snake media says there's something religious about the political decapitation of Donald Trump, and no judge in his right mind would put up with the shenanigans the Democrats are trying to pull. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And folks, it gets worse. It really does. It gets worse. Not only are Epstein, not only is Pelosi and Schiff and Nadler and this whole so-called impeachment management crew, who, by the way, I'm going to have my good friend Trevor Loudon on to talk about the backgrounds of these folks, because you're going to be amazed. You know, these people, folks, are Marxists. They really are. They really are Marxists. I mean, we've passed the point where you can accuse people of being card-carrying communists, because there's no communist party that any politician in America would associate him or herself with or claim membership in. In fact, I understand that the Communist Party itself has stopped giving out membership cards. So your association with the Communist Party need not be publicly known. But these people in thought, in philosophy, in ideology, they're communists. It's the way they think. They are much more in tune with Karl Marx than they are with Thomas Jefferson and Hobbes and Locke. They are collectivists, which is why they admire Castro And they admired Mao. You know, Mao was so brilliant. Mao was so wise. You know, what you need is Mao's little red book. As Anita Dunn, Obama's former communications director, said that she turned to Mao in times of difficulty to get counsel and advice from him. That tells you all you need to know. So a person like that, you say, well, so you're a communist. Say, oh, no. I'm not a communist. Oh, no, my goodness. No. I just benefit from the profound insights of Mao Zedong. You're a communist. Yeah, you know. But here again, you know, after the rise of Joe McCarthy and the ignominious fall of Joe McCarthy, I think a lot of people are unwilling to call it like it is because, of course, at that time, they were actually looking for members of the Communist Party. We're not talking about that now. We're talking about an insidious philosophy that has found its way into our body politic that does not represent American constitutional principles. It represents a foreign and evil and subversive ideology. And that's where these folks are. But in addition to this craziness about the removal of the president, that he has violated the Constitution, he's a threat to the Constitution, and we can't wait until the election, he has to be removed from office now. I mean, yeah, they actually said all this crazy stuff. But Nancy Pelosi also said this, which I take a great umbrage against, because it is one thing. See, here again, the left is always accusing conservatives of being hateful and bigots and this, that, and the other. But if you notice, we stick to issues. We want to debate substantive issues. They don't. They want to slander. They want to vilify. They want to excoriate. They want to smear. They want to insinuate. In other words, they're not interested in a substantive discussion. They're interested in the destruction of human beings. I said this the other day, and I'll repeat it. Yes, they're interested in the destruction of human beings. And by the way, the left wing has been all crazy because I said that the left wants to hurt us. We pray for them, love them, want to see them saved, want to persuade them, want God to touch their hearts and help them see the error of their ways. I said they want to destroy us. And I compared the way they think to the North Korean communists who put people into gulags and, of course, tortured them and beat them and killed them if they tried to escape or they had some other justification for doing so. They could be summarily executed. No trial, no hearing, no nothing, just off them. And I've said, you know, I don't see any difference in the attitude between those communists of North Korea and the left today. And of course, they took great umbrage at that themselves. Oh, well, you know, look at what he's saying. They don't have the power to do those things to us, folks. Thank God. But what I'm looking at is the attitude out of which that springs. Until the communists took over North Korea, they weren't doing that either. It is not until they had the power to do it that the real underlying evil that was lurking there all the time began to come out. And that's what I'm saying. I believe that same evil is lurking in the leftists in our country today. And if given the power, I think they'd get rid of a whole bunch of people who they just consider to be enemies of the state, if you will, the utopian state that they would create. Now, I realize that's speculative, but it's not unreasonable and it's not irrational because we have a historic record to look at for what leftists do when they take power. It is not as if we have no basis upon which to say that. We've seen it again and again in history. And by the way, let me just point out, they never say, well, you know, when we take over, we're going to, of course, this guy in Bernie Sanders' campaign let the cat out of the bag. But normally they're cunning enough to keep it to themselves. So they always talk about freedom and equality and even democracy. You know, communists love to use the word democracy. They love that word. Yeah, freedom, equality, fairness, democracy, and we're going to make everybody equal. And that's the way they talk. And then when they take over, It's terror and imprisonment and torture and starvation and murder and secret police and spying on everybody and the complete absence of due process. So what they paint is a picture of utopia. What they always deliver is one of the most horrific nightmares that people will ever experience. And I don't have any doubt whatsoever that the leftists in our country who have embraced Karl Marx instead of James Madison would be absolutely no different if they ever had the authority. So I'm not backing off that point, not one bit. That's why I don't want them to ever have that authority. And that's why I want to uphold our Constitution, our Judeo-Christian values, because we are the ones who are the repositories of civilization and decency, because as we've said before on this program, and you all have heard people call on this program, we don't believe in denying people who don't agree with us their First Amendment rights. We believe in supporting their First Amendment rights and then vigorously debating what they have to say. The left would love to shut us down and shut us up completely. And what do communist countries do when they take over? There's only one version of media and communication: state control. You will say what we want you to say, the way we want you to say it, or you will become one of those people who ends up being a victim of terror and imprisonment and labor camps and re-education and ultimately death. So here's what Nancy Pelosi said about President Trump, which I didn't fully get at first, but then I got the reference and somebody explained to me this new movie that's come out. But she said, he said to the president of Ukraine, do me a favor. So Nancy Pelosi says, do me a favor? Do you paint houses too? What is this? Do me a favor? Well, what I didn't realize, this do you paint houses too is a reference from this new Jimmy Hoffa movie that came out starring the crazy Robert De Niro. And there's a line in the movie. In fact, the film was originally based on a book titled I Heard You Paint Houses. And the paint houses is a reference apparently to killing people. And the way it works is it's a subtle code way of saying, do you spread the blood of people all over houses? In other words, do you go in and kill people and leave their blood all over the walls? So when they say, I heard you paint houses, that means I heard you kill people for a fee. She actually says to the president, not to him directly, but makes the public comment, do you paint houses too? Do me a favor. In other words, she's trying to liken the president to a mobster. I mean, folks, this is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I'm not talking about some nutcase at a protest rally. This is the Speaker of the House of Representatives characterizing the president as a mobster. Folks, there is something terribly, terribly wrong. And by the way, if you want to talk about painting houses, if they want to ever look at anybody around whom a whole bunch of people seem to fall dead quite a bit, look at the Clintons. Now look, I'm not a conspiratorial thinker, but I'm not blind. And I can't think of a single public figure or any political couple around whom so many people die. I mean, you know what? Including Jeffrey Epstein. Because Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Clinton had been on his plane many times. And who knows what Bill Clinton was up to with Jeffrey Epstein. We probably will never know. But here again, you know, there's questions about Jeffrey Epstein's death. So President Donald J. Trump is simply angering these leftists because he's putting America first. He's reviving American patriotism. And because they are self-hating, America-hating people, they can't stand it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Back during the Vietnam War, Alexander Duquette, who was 67 at the time, offered his life in exchange for the freedom of his son. Duquette, from Maryland, told authorities that he was willing to teach in North Vietnam in exchange for the release of his war prisoner son. Duquette smiled, despite the fact that tears were in his eyes when he told reporters of his offer. He offered to organize technical and vocational schools in Hanoi if the North Vietnamese government would free his son, Bruce, who was 29. I've completed a satisfying career and my life is approaching its twilight, Duquette, a former vocational educator, said. Bruce has been a prisoner for 4 years. He has not seen his small daughter since she was an infant. The greatest happiness I could have in the declining years of my life would be to see him reunited with his wife and child. Now, this is not the first story of a father making a supreme sacrifice for his children. Many have been the parents who gave their life that their children might live, even as Mr. Duquette was willing to give his life for his son. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, the greatest sacrifice was made some 2,000 years ago. A father found his children enslaved, hopelessly enslaved. He thought of some way to give them freedom. Then he saw that the only way to set his children free was for him to give himself as ransom for their freedom. And this he did. You see, his children were captives of sin, and in order to free them from their sinfulness, the father came down in the form of a son. He dwelt with those living in sin, and he loved them so much and wished that they could be free from their sin so much that he gave his life as a ransom for their freedom from sin. The children did not deserve the gift from the father. They had not earned it. In fact, they actually had done many things to keep them from ever acquiring it. But while the children were unworthy of the father's gift, or while they were yet sinners, he died for them because he loved them. But now the children of the Father can have freedom, real freedom, by simply accepting the Father's gift. But because freedom brings responsibilities, many of the children have elected to remain imprisoned. So despite the life-giving gift of the Father, many of his children are still not free because they refuse the gift. You see, the Father will not force his children to accept his gift of freedom. He'll offer, but not force. Mr. Duquette loved his son more than he loved his own life. Mr. Duquette also knew what freedom is and for what reason he was willing to give up his life for his son's freedom. Perhaps one day those of us who are children of the Father will accept the Father's gift and be free indeed.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, I'll be very honest. I listen to myself as I'm talking. You know, I do that. Try to make sure that I know what I'm saying, you know. And you know, there are times I say, well, maybe, you know, are you going too far? Are you engaging in hyperbole? Are you exaggerating the case? And then I back up and I look at the evidence and I say, you know, the evidence really kind of speaks for itself. And to not put it out there is really to deny what is before you. You know, Ronald Reagan used to say, never be afraid to see what you see. And I think a lot of people are afraid to see what they see. Now, here's another example of it. Then I'm going to start taking your phone calls during this segment and get as many in as I can because I didn't get very many in yesterday. The number is 888-589-8840. But here's another one that really, it kind of knocks your socks off. Now, you may not know this, but we have a state of emergency in Virginia now. Oh, you didn't hear about that? You say, oh, I didn't know, Bishop, was there a storm? Are there fires? Was there an explosion? Did something go? No, nothing like that. There's a state of emergency because Monday is lobby day at the Capitol and thousands of people always show up on lobby day. I have an event myself, so I don't get to go on lobby day, but I've been to the state house when there are big doings, you know, lots of groups showing up and lobbying their delegates and their state senators. Well, the governor has declared a state of emergency in Virginia. And by declaring a state of emergency in Virginia, he is now able to ban anyone bringing firearms to lobby day or onto the grounds of the Capitol. Yeah, and Virginia is an open carry state. Virginia is obviously a state that, the Second Amendment really emanated from Virginia. And Thomas Jefferson said a lot about the Second Amendment. In fact, I'll share with you some of the quotes of Thomas Jefferson about the right to keep and bear arms. But the governor has declared a state of emergency in Virginia in order to prevent the Virginians who are going to show up at the state house from concealed carry, open carry, anything like that. And folks, I've been to all kinds of events, you know, and concealed carry, open carry events. One of the safest places you want to be is a bunch of is in the midst of a bunch of law-abiding gun owners. That's one of the safest places you ever want to be. Do you notice that mass murderers don't go into gun shows? Do you notice that they don't attack gun stores? Because normally the staff is armed, locked, and loaded. And a lot of the people going in and out of there are armed, locked, and loaded. They're concealed carrying. So you notice that's not where they go. They go to a school. They go to a theater. They go to a nightclub. They go somewhere where they feel nobody is likely to be able to defend themselves. Well, the governor just sent out a notice to every nutcase in America. Hey, if you want to hurt a bunch of people, I'm gonna let them all come together and make sure that none of them can defend themselves. Now, of course, again, folks, that's not an encouragement to nutcases because they don't need they're not going to listen to me anyway. They're not listening to me anyway. But my point is, here again, this is where these leftists are. They're authoritarians. They're totalitarians. He's going to use the vast power of a declaration of a state of emergency. And here's what he says, because he's concerned that there might be an outbreak of violence at the Capitol, the way there was in Charlottesville back in 2017. Yeah, there's going to be an outbreak of violence. Well, first of all, the violence in Charlottesville was primarily fisticuffs, and I guess maybe there was some sticks or something like that. The worst of it was a guy in a vehicle who used his vehicle to attack people. We condemn that completely and totally. He was some kind of white supremacist or racist, or I don't know what he was. But at any rate, Antifa was there, and they were doing violence as well. But the governor has decided that the gathering, the traditional gathering on lobby day this coming Monday, justifies declaring a state of emergency. And folks, so, you know, when you see this kind of stuff happening, then it makes me say, well, you know, I wish I were exaggerating. I wish it weren't as bad as I sometimes think it to be or paint it to be. But when you hear that a governor is declaring a state of emergency so that he can make sure that nobody comes to the Capitol bearing arms, what's next? I mean, during a state of emergency, I think the governor has a right during a state of emergency to call out the National Guard. I mean, what are these people doing? And the fact of the matter is, Governor Ralph Northam, who, as far as I'm concerned, this leftist, this abortion defender, this defender of infanticide even, this man who wears blackface or a Ku Klux Klan hood and then points the finger at every conservative as a racist, the man who would not shake my hand, by the way, you all probably heard that story, but during a debate when we were running for lieutenant governor, he refused to shake my hand, and I made sure he knew I was extending my hand to him because I tapped him, and he would not even so much as look at me. And people want to tell me, well, he's really a Southern gentleman. No, I know Southern gentlemen. I know a lot of them, and he's not one. as far as I'm concerned, he's just a typical leftist who feels that they own people, and that if people are not doing what they want them to do, then they are subject to whatever they can do to hurt them, harm them, vilify them, destroy them. As a matter of fact, that I won't get into that because I don't want to relive the campaign. But believe me, you know, talk about the lies told by Northam and his people. I have no respect for the man whatsoever. But having said all that, he could not be more safe than being in the midst of a bunch of law-abiding gun owners, because we would protect him, not hurt him. But you see, when these politicians and pundits get to the point where you and I, the American people, the average law-abiding citizen, we are the enemy. We're the ones that they must be protected from. Folks, what does that sound like? That's exactly where. In fact, look, I mentioned this, and oh my goodness. You know what? Let me stop there because I want to get to your calls. I said I was going to do that during this break, so let me stop those comments. I'll come back to them, and let's go right to Miller in Louisiana. Miller, welcome.
Hey, how are you, brother? I just wanted to make a comment on the stuff you've been talking about, not just today, but for a long time. You know, I got saved around the same time you did in February of 76, and I started really reading the scriptures, new modern English, you know, where you could understand it rather than the old King James. And over these years, I've just come to watch and see that there's only two nations that I could come up with historically and biblically that were established either by the hand of God or by his divine providence. That would be Israel, and they had to be put out of their land four times because of their disobedience, and they finally got it back after 2,000 years in 1948. The other one is this country from the time of Columbus to the Pilgrims, the Founding Fathers, Civil War doing away with slavery, and then the Great Missionary Movement in the 1860s and so forth. And then in 1962, when I was in the eighth grade, is when the Supreme Court started turning away from God, saying that you couldn't pray in school. Well, in the Bible Belt, and I'm from Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia and Arkansas, we all thumbed our nose and kept praying. 10 years later comes Roe v. Wade. 10 years after that comes the homosexual movement in 82. And now you look back to early part of this century and you see churches that are endorsing abortion. There for women, you see churches, quote unquote, that are ordaining and marrying lesbians and homosexuals, and you see all of that stuff going on, and the day is going downhill, and you just described it on your program with all this democratic foolishness and all. And so all that remains is for those who know Jesus and who want to stay firm on the scripture, just like Paul says in Galatians, we got to stand firm. And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second unto it is to love your neighbors yourself.
All right, Miller, listen, I wanted you to go on because, man, the things you were saying are right on target. They're absolutely correct. And we've got to reverse this trend that's been going on now for about 60 years in our country. We'll be back in a moment.
Eight Days of Hope needs volunteers to help families hit by tornadoes in DeSoto County, Mississippi. Efforts will continue through January 31st. Visit 8daysofhope.com to let them know how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door. And there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country. And homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Come help tornado victims in DeSoto County, Mississippi. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yeah, folks, Virginians have been gathering together at the state capitol on Monday. I guess it's Monday. Well, I don't know whether it's January 20th or it's just the third Monday in January. It's called Lobby Day, but they've been doing that for years. 20 years, probably goes back further than that. Suddenly, there needs to be a state of emergency. And we have to ban anybody bringing any firearms. There's never been an incident. And the VCDL, the Virginia Citizens Defense League, which I'm a member of, by the way, is run by Philip Van Cleve, have been part of those lobby days for 20 years. But suddenly, we're in a state of emergency now, according to Governor Ralph Northam. He said he's heard threats of violence, but no details, no specifics. No specifics, just there's been threats and violent rhetoric, he says. Threats and violent rhetoric. Yeah, right. I mean, this is nothing but a gross power grab, and it should not be allowed to stand, because who knows where this leads. You can just declare a state of emergency for any reason you choose and then start controlling people's Second Amendment rights on that basis. Folks, that's a move worthy of Stalin. Let's go back to the lines and get as many calls here as we can. The number is 888-589-8840. Kay in Kansas, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, you're on, Kay. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. May I just read, because I wrote it down so I could say it right, and then I wanted to tell you something after I read this. Would this be okay?
Go right ahead. If it's not too long.
No, it isn't. To me, this is what I'm thinking in my head. Evil has always been from the devil, and it seems it's getting its way more and more in our country. We need to keep our president for the next 4 years when the voting comes up in November, because this is me personally, but I wanted to tell you, I've heard you before and never called in, and then I'm on the driving the car and I can't do it then, but I want to tell you, since I heard what you said, I'll be glad to shake your hand in heaven, since Christ died for us and took his blood to save me and you and others. So
Amen.
You have a good day.
Thank you so very much, Kay. And you know, the thing is, folks, I have never met a conservative. The only person who, for political reasons, who has not been willing to shake my hand was a leftist. I have never met a conservative. I mean, and I've met libertarians. I've associated with Confederate flag flying guys and social conservatives and national defense conservatives and fiscal hawks. I've never met a person, a conservative, who would not shake my hand. Only experience I've had with that was with the leftist who is now governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Ralph Northam. And I wouldn't even, look, to me, it wouldn't even be important, except they're always pointing the finger at other people, claiming, particularly conservatives, claiming that we're racist. Yeah, well, we know what that's all about, folks. It's, once again, their hypocrisy knows no bounds. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome. George, you are on.
Hey, Bishop, how are you doing today?
God bless, George. Thank you.
And next time you get a second thought on whether you're right or wrong in speaking out, you just keep on speaking. Because you're doing a good job.
Thank
and
you.
And this sham, this setup of impeachment trial where Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, those two senators, are able to be impartial judges on the president on the president's behalf? Are you kidding me? Like they don't have a dog in the race? I think that this is the most shameful thing. And when it comes time to voting, I'm voting all the Democrats out and firing everyone I possibly can. This is shameful what they're doing. It's like Jesus with the Sanhedrin, not that Trump's Jesus or anything, but it's like him with the Sanhedrin, and they're all going, crucify him, crucify him. Yep. And who's really behind it is Satan.
Thank you for the call, George. And listen, when Nancy Pelosi stood up in front of the cameras and said, this impeachment is not personal, it's not partisan, it's not political, it's patriotic. Folks, I literally could have upchucked. It's staggering that a person could say something that's such an obvious, contemptible lie. And you think either she's so delusional that she believes what she just said, or she's just a consummate liar who thinks that the American people are stupid enough to believe that. Thank you for the call, George. Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome. David, you're on. From Virginia, the great Commonwealth.
That's right. Well, Bishop, I just wanted to let you know, I received an email from a pastor warning folks about a House Bill 580 in the Virginia legislature in the House. And it's in committee right now. And it deals with children that may think that they're transgender, and it restricts parents from trying to teach them otherwise, and like reading a scripture to them or reading scripture to them, and trying to teach your children otherwise could be considered, as far as I understand, in the bill, as mental injury and child abuse, and that could wind up with you having your children taken away from you. So this is the reason I'm calling is that everyone is talking about the Second Amendment, and that's very good because we need to deal with that issue. But there's a really even more important issue here, and that is the family and parents' rights to train up their children in the way they should go. And so once you start allowing parents' rights to be chipped away at, eventually they'll be gone. So we need to pay attention to this as well, and I just wanted to let you know about it so you can look into it. It's House Bill 580.
House Bill 580. David, thank you for the call. And look, you are absolutely right. It's just the Second Amendment has taken front and center stage because of all these sanctuary cities and counties that have been declared around Virginia. But look, these people have a very, very wicked agenda. And here again, we talk about totalitarianism and authoritarianism. What's one of the first things that the nation does when it goes that way? It declares that the parents don't have ultimate authority over their children. The state does. And here, this is, again, folks, this is the way leftists think. Because they think parents are too stupid to know what to do with their children. And look, when I was practicing law in Massachusetts, I actually had the Department of Social Services say to me that parents who take their children to church every Sunday are automatically suspect of abuse. I'm serious, folks. That's what they actually believe, that that was a sign of abuse, because they're godless secularists, and the idea of making your children, who you're raising and feeding and clothing and teaching, making them go to church is a sign of abuse. So, David, House Bill 580, we'll keep an eye on what's going on there. Let's go to Jewel in Tennessee. Jewel, welcome.
Yes. I have some friends going up there to pray. They're God-fearing men who love their family and use that to their guns just to hunt with, okay? That's all they use it for. The other thing is Nancy Pelosi is possessed, and the other has to do with Elizabeth Warren. She was part of when Waco happened, all right?
Yep.
And not in a good way. And the other is, I have got chronic Lyme, so I research a lot of things. Plum Island, all this bio warfare, Plum Island, they moved this stuff over to Iowa. Iowa is a farm country. I don't know if people know that, but I'm just letting them know. You can find out a lot of news just by watching these cartoons called Family Guy.
Really? Okay. All right, Jewel. Well, listen, thank you so much for the heads up. We do appreciate it, and we're glad people will be coming up to pray. We know that law-abiding gun owners are not coming to the state capitol in Virginia to create trouble. As I've said, if Ralph Northam had an ounce of sense, he'd realize the safest place he could be is around a bunch of conservative Second Amendment believers, because we would protect him, not hurt him. And it's the others out there who are godless and full of hatred and want to hurt anybody who won't agree with them. They're the ones he better be concerned about, not the God-fearing citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Okay, I think we've got time to just get one more in. Oscar from Texas. Oscar, welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. If we recall in the news and all over the news, is that just to put out the facts? Because, in any case, we have to have evidence from both sides presented. Now, what happened here not several months ago, our president referred to his own party that didn't go along with him. He said, never Trumpers or nothing but human scum.
Okay, Oscar, look, I've said before, the president can speak in loose ways. There's a difference, though, between somebody getting angry and saying something that's off and watching their overall behavior. This president, as I've said before, has done nothing but try to be a benefit to the American people, and that includes everybody, regardless of their background, regardless of their politics. That's not what I see the left doing. I see them trying to hurt people who don't agree, things like declaring a state of emergency in Virginia because a bunch of people have said, we don't agree with you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today, but we'll continue tomorrow. Remember, in the meantime, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.